Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guns.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang. And it's another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with John and Kat here on a Sunday night, a little bit out of our normal sequence, but we decided to do a show about the ghost pets and ghost animals that we've heard about in our daily lives and that kind of thing. But I wanted to take a moment and also talk briefly about events in Washington yesterday. Matter of fact, very close to Kat, I believe you, Kat heard the actual sirens going by.
Yes. Yeah.
The event that occurred at that home, I think it was about maybe 15 minutes from you,
right,
where the father took the lives of, I believe, five children.
Yes.
And it really has just pretty much torn up the whole area. So as we were doing the show, this was actually all taking place right close to Kat. That said, I'd like to just propose we take a moment to... you know, a moment's silence for everyone who would be listening to just stop and think about that. And with that, I'm going to go ahead here in just a few seconds and ask everyone to just kind of bow their head and say a prayer. And with that, we're going to go silent for 1 minute. God bless. Thank you for taking that time. That was quite a thing that happened. We were off doing the show and having a great time. And as soon as we finished up, we went out and found that, and it was found that news waiting. And Kat had actually contacted me on Instant Messenger, and I looked up and went, oh, my God. And so it was quite a shock for us. And so for all the folks in Washington State and everyone whose lives has been touched by this, we just want to extend our deepest condolences here from GRI. That said, we must go on. And I think that's the kind of thing that helps you get through this. So we're going to do a show and continue to do what we do best, you know, talk about the paranormal, talk about, you know, what's out there. And ghost pets are on the docket today.
That's right.
I would also think that, let me think here. Well, let's see. I'm just kind of making up the show as we go. How are you doing, Kat? Let's talk about that, because I know you were pretty upset with all this.
Well, I was watching the news when we were doing the show, and they broke in a little earlier before the show with a breaking news story. This happened in Graham, which is about, I'd say it's about 15 minutes away from me down there in the Deer Hill Mobile Home Park. James
yeah.
Harrison, his wife was going to leave him for another man, and unfortunately he shot all five of his kids, drove to Auburn, which is a town about 20 minutes away from me, and they found him in his car in the Muckleshoot, up by the Muckleshoot Casino, and there was a call made to check on his children, and of course they had all expired. So it's been a real shock to the community, and I'd like to take this time to, I really appreciate you giving the moment of silence for these innocent lives that were cut so short.
Yeah,
we're gonna make it. You know, slowly. There's a vigil tonight for the children. My friends have told me as a sensitive I should go down there and perhaps offer my services to the family to see if I can't contact the children and let them go.
Well, yeah, I think.
But I can't, because their mother has to let them go.
Yeah, and not only that, there's going to be there's still police activity and things going on there. It's going to be a madhouse for a while. Yeah.
You know, the police actually brought five crosses to the home to be placed for the children, because they all have kids too.
Yeah, and it's rough on everybody. I saw just a little bit of it, and I just turned it off and went, oh, no. I don't know what's going on. With all the people going, oh, just popping off right now, it's getting a little crazy out there. And the only thing I'm going to say is, we make our business out of the paranormal, and, you know, we're dealing with dead people all the time. But, you know, there's plenty of them right now, and there's a certain rate we expect them to come in. What we don't want is children coming in too early before they've lived their lives, you know, and that's just not right. So I ask, you know, those people who may listen to this show, you know, if you're having some stuff go on, there's plenty of resources out there to help you. And definitely don't take it out on little kids, or don't take it out on your wife, or, you know, if it's a woman that's getting violent, don't take it out on anybody else. You know, if you're in a desperate situation and the kids look like a target, it's just not worth it. There's plenty of ways to get, you know, avenues for help if you just look hard enough. I mean, you know, reach out to your church, reach out to community help organizations. They're out there.
Right.
And, and if you're totally lost and you're listening to us, call us. We'll help you.
That's right.
Good Lord. I mean, you know, there's better ways. But that said, you know, we're dealing with the reality of all this, and to get through it, we're going to just press on. So tonight it is a ghost show, Ghosts of Animals. And Kat suggested this. I was in the studio just going to do some evidence analysis, and the temptation overcame me, and I decided, hey, let's do a show.
Reached up and bit you in the ass, didn't
it? Yeah, bit me in the ass, and I said, man, I got to do a show, so my evidence can wait till tomorrow. But that
well, you
said,
know, it's interesting. I have a story for you that I don't think I've ever told you. It has actually converted my sister into believing in this stuff.
Oh, really?
She's a skeptic, and she kind of believes in a little bit, you know, but not too much. But she actually had her cat, Boots, was actually my niece's cat, but my sister was watching it, and it actually lived with my sister, and Boots was a crafty one, and he died two years ago, They had to put him to sleep. He had a he actually had diabetes.
Really?
And they put him to sleep. And about a year ago, my sister, I was talking to her, and she said, you know, it was the funniest thing. Her and my brother-in-law were in their apartment, and she heard Boots cry. And she's like, she looks at Russ, and she goes, and so he came out of the den, and she came down the hall, and she looked at Russ, and she said, where's Boots? He said, I just heard Boots cry. And she heard it, I think she only heard it the once. But he had a very distinct cry, and nobody was thinking about him. And she came down the hall because she heard him cry for his food.
Yeah, and he had passed before that, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. And she said, you know, I talked to you about it because you hunt these things. And I said, well, I don't hunt animals, but if you heard Boots, I believe you, if that's what you want me to say.
It's funny because we had a story, we had a cat named Piwacket. It was a black, just coal black cat, and he had a great personality, funnier than a crutch. I mean, he had a sense of humor. I mean, I swear to God, I mean, he would just do stuff. He'd walk along, and this cat would plot and wait, and you'd walk by, and he'd run out and just jump as high as he could, spring off of you, scare the hell out of you, spring off and flick back, and then he'd turn sideways and arch his back and look at you and dare you to chase him. And if you would, he loved that. That was his thing. And eventually he had an accident, and a friend of ours came over and accidentally ran over him one day. It was terrible. And we buried him on the hill, and we're on a 7-acre ranch here. And last year, matter of fact, I mean, I sent you a note. I told you something about this, which what happened was my mother went to walk into the kitchen, and she saw a black shape go running from the kitchen out right through the door, and she freaked out and called me to grab my gear because I had my K2 and a bunch of other stuff. I was working with it at the time, and so I grabbed it and went out and did a quick investigation. Caught a couple of, you know, EMFs, but nothing, you know, really clear out in the backyard. And then I got thinking about it, and earlier that day I'd been on the hill right over where Piwacket is buried, and I was trying to do a few EVPs just to see, can I pick up pets? And I kind of get the feeling that I might have stimulated him into coming into the kitchen. And the reason I think it was him, because there was an incident where we caught him about 15 years ago. I came walking in the kitchen, and my mother came around the other side, and we both walk in to look, and here's Piwacket on the next to the stove with an open pot of stew with his face deep in it, licking stew. And my mother started shrieking, and this cat completely freaked out and jumped off of the darn stove area, landed on the ground, and he's sitting there just looking stricken, and she starts shrieking like a banshee. I've never seen my mother do this ever again. She shrieks and starts screaming, and even my hair went up. I'm looking at her like, the woman's possessed, for God's sake. And the cat all of a sudden found his legs, and we didn't find him for 4 days. And inside the house, we could not find him. He did not come out. He did not, you know, he was completely lodged next to some shoes in one of our closets and would not come out. He had to be talked out, and he never again did that. But anyway, I do think that was him, and we haven't had anything since, you know. I mean, you came out, and we talked a little bit about it, but that reminded me of that.
Hey, your mom told me about the stew incident.
Yeah. Hey, tell you what, let's go ahead. We kind of skipped off format here a little. Let's do it. Go ahead and do the news. You know the drill, I think. If I can find it, let me see. Do I have it?
Are you looking for dirty laundry?
Here it is. I found it.
Good.
All the paranormal news that's fit to not talk about here on Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. oh, yeah, okay, we finally got it. And, of course, it would not be a show without, oh, my goodness, what did that do? Computers, here we go. One of these days.
There is no big only soul.
That's right.
I love that. I just got to keep playing it. What can I say?
It figures, John.
Yeah, well, I don't know why, but I just love that.
I don't know why either.
Someday it's just going to play when I press it again. Come on, buddy. Here we go.
There is no big only soul.
Isn't that what's his name?
Actually, yeah, it was Zool. Yeah, and he had taken over the spirit of Dana, what's her name over there in
the gatekeeper, right?
Hey, anyway, on the news here, we've got Arizona Ghost Hunter Travels, Spirits of the Brookdale Lodge. Now, the Brookdale Lodge is based out of a little teeny town called Brookdale, right? Not too far from the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk area. It's up in the mountains just above it, maybe about 20 to 30 miles up.
Right.
But a great place. I've hunted there and got, as a matter of fact, on the GRI website, we've got a photograph I think is probably the only real, what I believe to be, ghost photograph I actually have, which was taken in the famous brook room and I think I picked up a woman, the outline of a woman standing behind a door looking out at us.
Yes, she did.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So that particular photograph is out there. If you ever get a chance, just hit the GRI site and take a look. But I'm going to go ahead and read some of this. This is from April 4th. Driving to the Brookdale Lodge, now known as the Brookdale Inn and Spa, was an adventure in itself. The MVD Ghost Chasers paranormal team was on yet another of our road trips. And the Brookdale Lodge was on the agenda, and they go on and on about stuff here. They're going, let's look to see what things happened. And it still looks the same, even though they've done a little, well, there's a few changes. It's much greener than I remember here on the page. And we've got the link out there on the show description if you happen to be listening and want to go take a look at that.
Right.
Here we go. A woman has been spotted walking over a bridge at the stream that is no longer there. She seems to be searching for someone. Could it be young Sarah? We still have many more miles to cover that day, so our mini investigation of the lodge was cut short. Bottom line is that was approximately the area that I had my little photo. And there's the talk about the little girl that who died in the stream, and I actually photographed the spot where she had passed and got an orb, but I'm not sure if it's not just a water droplet or something reflecting. There were a lot of orbs that we picked up in that particular facility, and it's just, you know, it's extremely ancient. And there is a feel, though, that, you know, when you walk in, you can feel that they're there. I can say that the one place that they did not go into, based on this story, they did not end up in the second level offices, which we hunted, and I ended up chasing a moving EMF field around. And,
wow.
Then I cornered it, and when I cornered it, my meter suddenly started going crazy. It's never done this before. It started, all the LCD displays all started just flashing wildly, and all of a sudden I got probably the worst headache of my entire life. And I had to actually kind of get out of there for a little while because I actually got sick. It was so powerful. And I had that headache all the way into the next day. And I'm very certain that I had a run-in with the spirit up there. And it didn't like it. And it was trying to stay away from us. So evidently, all the ghost hunters in there that troop in and out of there probably are not appreciated. So that poor thing, I don't blame it for probably getting a little mad. I was a little new to this and over-enthusiastic, and this happened in 2007, and probably ticked this guy off or whatever it was. But anyway, we've got next story, a paranormal Bigfoot, monsters, and the occult. Let's take a look here. This is also from Man Monkey. Oh, my God, it's a man monkey. Have you seen
a man monkey.
Yeah, it's a man monkey. Laura was 36, lived in Rochester, New York, and was employed by the post office, which is filled with man monkeys. When I was interviewed her in 2007, she related the details of a distinctly odd and unsettling set of occurrences that took place in mid-1985. And this is on a warm summer's night. She and three of her friends had come over to visit, and they were planning to have an evening just hanging out. And the discussion turned to horror movies, ghosts, spooks, specters, and all this, and the typical thing that teenagers will do when they are faced with the paranormal: cat, tell me what it is.
What do teenagers do?
What will they pull out every time when they're talking about spooks and specters?
The Ouija board.
That's exactly it. So they Ouija board. They did. And Laura admitted to me, quote, "None of them was seriously frightened by the board or possible implications of what might transpire. In fact, they had no real idea at all of even how to use a board, apart from what we had seen in horror movies. But they got excited, and they went on to play with this. However, what initially started out as nothing more than a bit of late-night joking quickly changed into something far darker and much more disturbing. Largely improvising, and as a result of lacking any real knowledge of how to use the Ouija board, they did their best, relying on familiar Hollywood imagery, and they pulled a wine glass from a kitchen cupboard, placed it at their index fingers on top of it, and soon were immersed in their planned bit of fun. And questions about boys, when they would marry, and attempts to contact dead relatives followed, all to no avail, and perhaps inevitably. But something decidedly odd did occur. On two occasions, the electricity went off, which scared the living daylights out of the four friends. Not surprisingly, one might argue, taking into consideration their actions with the Ouija board. When that happened with the electricity, Laura said, we all looked at one another in a funny way and decided to stop. And even though nothing else of an untoward nature occurred that night, it was all too late. The damage was done, and a doorway was unwittingly and ominously opened. And for reasons that Laura admits to this day she cannot explain or nor understand, a feeling of fear and apprehension came over her the next day, which progressed, and by early the next evening, after all her friends had returned to their homes. And again, that night, the electricity failed at 6 p.m., and the dark, foreboding feelings began to take an ever stronger hold on Laura's mind. And so this goes on, that she was starting to get woken up in this from a deep sleep in early hours, heard what sounded like animal screams emanating from the vicinity of woodland near their home. She woke up and would not see these things. She would just hear it. Strange smells like old rotting cabbage in the room.
Ooh.
And then she finally got to see this thing. It was a silhouetted black hairy figure partially eclipsed by the shadows in the room. She saw it was hunched over and huge and had long arms and big white eyes. And she wasn't sure if it was a monkey or a hairy man, just like Bigfoot is the way she explains it here. And it never, from what I'm just kind of paraphrasing, I'm just jumping through the story, but it never put in a repeat performance. And she's decided never to get into Ouija boards again. I can understand why. You know, and the GRI mantra: don't mess with Ouija boards. It ain't cool, okay?
I know, like, I could ask five different people the opinions of Ouija boards, and I would get five different answers. So I guess it really depends on your experience with one or somebody you know that has had an experience. Now, I do know people that have had nothing happen to them that they're aware of.
Yeah.
Me personally, they're not toys.
No, they're not toys, and that's my feeling on it. If you know what you're doing, if you've got, you know, quote, occult training, or you do have, you know, serious experience with the paranormal, I think you can do it, and you know the proper things to be doing to shield yourself and not to be, you know, playing around with doorways and opening up things that you really don't know about. The other thing is that youngsters seem to have that precocious ability to call in these sorts of things, whereas an adult, you know, is a little less likely to have an episode like this happen when they're doing the same sort of activity.
That's why they sell them at Toys R Us.
Yeah, and I've got a niece right now that's sitting around playing with these things, and I get a call from my sister, and you know, we've talked about this in the past, where my sister mm-hmm. starts telling me, and I said, Joanne, you know, stop this. I, you know, tell her to lay off of it. Oh, no, we played with those, and nothing happened. And I said, you don't
Not
understand
yet.
What you're messing with. So, you know, if you want, and what was happening was they're all staying at my sister's house. Everybody's moved back in, so they're all there. And lights are coming on in the house at 3 in the morning. The TV is coming on by itself, on and off. Sounds of footsteps. I mean, the works. And so I haven't heard from them in about 6 weeks. I'm going to give them a call and find out more about that. But, yeah, that's just not cool.
No.
Hey, guess what? You know what time it is. We're at 5 to the hour. So what do you think on our song, since we loaded up a few?
I think, you know, whichever one you want to play.
You think the creepy one?
Oh, the creepy one's fun. Yeah, that's a fun song.
Okay, let's do that, and we'll come back, and we'll start in with our main show topic, okay?
Great.
All right, here we go.
In a town in the woods at the top of a hill, there's a house where no one lives. So you take a big bag of your big city money there and buy it. But at night when the house is dark and you're all alone, there's a noise upstairs. At the top of the stairs there's a door and you take a deep breath and try it. And the flashlight shows you something moving just inside the door. There's a tattered dress and a feeling somewhere before. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a ruined eye, it's always open. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a pretty mouth that swallow you whole.
Always follow the leader. It's got a ruined eye. It's always Okay.
That's it. That's the creepy doll.
It's friggin' creepy, man.
It's the creepy doll. And you know, the funny thing about that song is it's kind of the movie Poltergeist with that clown in the corner that a little kid looks at, that it's gone. That's kind of like the creepy doll. That's kind of the way it goes with that song. It's kind of, people can, everybody that's heard that song that I've played it for can totally relate to that in some form or another.
I'll tell you what.
In fact, isn't it Steve from Taps that's afraid of dolls?
I am too. I was just going to say that. I've been on investigations where there's been dolls in the room, and I just get that friggin' creeps me out, man. They're always looking at me. And I know they're just friggin' evil, man. I just want to put in front of them. I just don't want to look at it. I don't know. I think it's the thing that they just don't blink.
It's because they're portrayed in Hollywood as being frightening, and they move, and then there's the puppet master, and, you know, there's all that. I don't know. They don't scare me.
I'm going to go ahead and announce the call-in number. It's 646-478-0377 for those of you who have a story about ghostly animals, maybe your pet cat or a dog or a particular animal that you remember maybe seeing something of a spectral nature. Go ahead and call in, and we'll be glad to put you on the air. Hey, I was just looking at Amazon.com, by the way, and it turns out there's several books on this, and including one that in the story you sent me called On Animal Ghosts from the first link you sent.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's sort of out of print. It's called Ghostly Animals of America by Patricia Edwards Klein, C-L-Y-N-E. And that can be found on the Animal Ghosts link on the show page. And it's no longer in print, so you'd have to go look for this one. And it was written in 1977, and back then it was $5.95. It tells you how things have progressed. But on the animal topic for this on Amazon, Phantom Felines and Other Ghostly Animals by Jarena Dunwich.
Right.
And there's also There is Eternal Life for Animals by Nikki Shanahan, and that's also another one that's out there. And also Haunted Animals, True Ghost Stories by Alan Zullo for a penny. So there's a few of them out there. And also here's, there's a bunch more I didn't realize.
Uh-huh, there's lots
ghost
of them.
Ghost Cats of the South by Randy Russell, Pet Ghost, Animal Encounters from Beyond the Grave. And just more and more of them. So there is quite a market of these. Ghost Pets and Spirit Animals by Jill Armitage.
My aunt has an experience in her house that I've told you about that we're going to actually go investigate.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, she had a dog. It was a toy poodle. and his name was, what was his name? Damn, Jacques. He died like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And I told you about this. She's coming out of her bedroom and was turned around to walk down the hallway towards the kitchen, and Jacques was laying in the middle of the floor, just like I asked her, I said, was it transparent? No. Did it look like a dog? She said it looked just like a poodle. It looked just like Jacques. And he was just laying there looking up at her, and he watched her come down the hall. And when she got almost about 3 feet away from him, he just vanished. And she was like, okay, what's the deal with this thing? And I'm like, well, and you know, I asked her the standard questions, what did he look like, was he transparent, did he move, did he run? He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just disappeared right in front of her. And I was like, damn, are you sure it was Jacques? And she says, yeah, she hasn't seen him for like 12 years, and he just magically appeared.
Huh.
And I'm like, wow, damn, she's
funny.
Credible, too.
It's funny because we have a case, we had another cat on our property that also unfortunately passed in almost the same spot as our other cat. And
well, that's too bad.
Unfortunately, I'm the one that ran over him. He was old, and he would like to get under my car, Yeah. And I went to back out, and I had a Camaro at the time, and I started the car, and, you know, I mean, when I'd start that car, you know, it made all kinds of racket.
Right.
I had to go with the reverse, and I had a little bump, and I went, uh-oh. Got out, and it was Ponchi, and he was, of course, dying. And my mother had to actually, my mother got the .22 and had to finish him right there because he was just suffering.
Right.
And I spent the next week just beside myself. We'd had this cat for 9 years. It was a family member, you know, and you feel horrible. But what ended up happening, almost from the moment that he passed, we were seeing him. And you could actually see, and he was confused at first. And so I normally, you know, I've had a few, you know, spectral sightings like that woman on the property and different things we've talked about in the past. But I actually saw Ponchi running, and he was running extremely fast, and then he would just disappear. And Mom had a few strange encounters. And over the years, some odd things have happened. I haven't had any more sightings of him, but my mother will be out in the garden on the back side of the property where we, you know, we have a 2-acre garden. We just grow everything under the sun and basically live off of all that. And she'll be out there working, and so she'll suddenly feel him come up and press on her leg, and she'll know it's him, and she'll say, "It's okay, Ponchi." And all of a sudden it just stops, and she'll hear padding of little footprints around her, and then it's gone. And she has that happen maybe 3, 4, 5 times a year. Just him letting it be known he's still around. And he's buried on the same hill as Piwacket. So we've got a regular little place where we put all these animals we've had through the years and had these experiences with them.
You have a pet cemetery.
We have a pet cemetery, but no, I don't have people with strange eyes and things going on.
You know what's interesting? When I was down there and I was talking to your mom, and she told me the name of that cat, and I told her what that name means. I think she was like, "What?"
Yeah, it's kind of a witchy name, isn't it? She just picked it out of the air, and
Piwacket. That's the name of the devil. That's one of Satan's many names. Is Piwacket.
Well, he was a cool cat.
I'm sure.
I like him. Because what was funny, I used to work late nights, and I'd come home. I was working through college as a salesman, and I'd come home, and I had that same Camaro, and I'd come flying in, and he'd be waiting there for me, and he'd wait to attack me. So I'd get out, and he'd come running up and just nail me, and then he'd finally come back, and he'd greet me, and he'd come and just sit in front of me, and then I'd just hit my chest once, and he'd jump right on it, and I'd catch him, and he would crawl over the top of my neck, and then lay. And hook into my clothes, and he would sit there and switch his tail, and I'd walk around with his cat switching his tail. It was kind of like the Ever Ready battery commercial, you know, daring to knock this cat off me, you know. But it was, yeah, he was a great cat, and I just missed the hell out of him, you know. That said, let's take a look here.
Doc's in the chat room, and he says it's not an evil pet cemetery, and I said it's not Indian burial ground either. So.
No, it's a very loving place. We've got a number of dogs and cats there, and it's, you know, it's a good peaceful feeling there. But no
right.
evil.
So we had one when I lived over on Mercer Island. We had a little place where we buried our gerbils and hamsters and cats and dogs and things. You know.
Well, I'll tell you. Looking at this article by this Dale Kazmarek, I think.
Right.
Kazmarek. He's talking about that there aren't any reports of phantom mosquitoes or flies.
You know, and that might be a good thing.
Yeah, I kind of think that's a good thing. We just don't need any ghost mosquitoes flying about. But I do think that at a certain point, an animal gets a certain amount of intelligence and basically a spirit inhabits that animal at some point. And I think when you're getting into the cat and dog realm, you're starting to get into that area, and I don't know exactly what the spiritual criteria are for having a soul, but I do think that that's probably close to where the edges of it are. And horses also seem to be a big thing. And oddly enough, here in the gold country where we're at, there's my friend Michelle, who's on our team. She's our researcher. Doing some scouting missions for another group she used to belong to here. And she relates a story about a team of horses seen on a road here called Green Valley Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a team of horses running at full speed with a wagon attached to them. And this is seen fairly regularly on the road. And we've been talking about getting a few of us out there and just setting up some drop recorders just to see if we can pick this thing up as it goes by. But we're trying to get some idea of the approximate dates and times folks are hearing this and then be able to catch this. But, you know, it probably is a residual haunt, but still, I mean, interesting. And it's always at these breakneck speeds that these horses are seen. So it's something that spooked them or terrified them into running.
Well, you know, me and you had drove down that road, and you asked me where I felt them running, and I pinpointed it, so...
Yeah, and it was roughly in the area that I had kind of felt it too, that I just was psychically looking at it going, where in the heck? And it was within that quarter mile stretch where you felt it at one end, and we drove a little ways, and I said, well, this is about where I figured it. And it was within that quarter mile. But I'm sure that there's probably been some folks that have had encounters with even animals as large as, cows and bulls and horses. I don't know if you have any stories of that, but...
I have a story out of Seattle, actually, the Seattle Underground. The thing that you need to remember about the Seattle Underground, if you ever get out this way, if anybody gets out this way, I'll take you there. It's insane down there. We actually have a horse and carriage service that runs down 2nd, 3rd Avenue in Seattle. And so you have to consider that there's horses that walk down these streets. But at the time that you do an investigation at night, the horse carriages have stopped. So I told you that story to tell you this one. If you go to Underground Seattle, now we've caught this on EVP, there's actually Underground Seattle, for those of you that don't know, it's Seattle under Seattle. Underground Seattle still exists. After the fire, they rebuilt a city over it. So now down in the Underground Seattle, it's rare, but you catch the sound of horses walking down the old cobblestone streets that are still down there. And we've actually caught these horses on EVP, but what the people that run the tour will tell you is it's possible that you caught it from up above the horses walking down the street, the regular street. But at the time we did the investigation, there were no horses out there. There was no traffic. It was like 2 a.m.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense. And so, especially 2 a.m., I mean, you're in dead time. That would be about right for, something like that to be playing itself back as a residual haunt.
They don't run the carriage rides after like 10 o'clock at night. They shut it down.
Huh.
You know, they trailer the horses and take them back out to wherever they go, and then they see them. Even the police that patrol in Seattle, we have horse patrols, and they're not out either. So I've heard the horses on an EVP. So,
I've been to that part of Seattle and actually been down in some of the lower sections there by the fish market. I've been down in some of those lower areas where the shops are and stuff, and there's some strange feelings in there. It's a very weird place.
There's an Indian woman down there and a black-eyed child, a black-eyed kid, a B.E.K.
Yeah, and it's just a strange, you just get a strange feeling, and you're kind of glad to get out of there and into the sunlight again. I was there in 2005 while I was on some company business and just took in the sights, and that was different. I saw in the chat room, just a second, let me take a quick look here. It kind of passed by, but there was one gentleman there was talking about seeing a ghost on a ship.
That's a Doc.
Yeah,
that's Doc John.
Yeah, what was he saying? Because I just caught the end of it and talking about that. I mean, do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he saw a ghost on a ship that was just as solid as you and me. He says, when I was in the Navy, I saw a ghost on a shipboard that was as solid as you or I from head to toe, and he simply just disappeared.
I don't know what ship it would have been on, but that's pretty common on a lot of Navy ships. You know, U.S. and I'm sure other nations have the same issue with a lot of that kind of thing. I've been recently, as of last year, was aboard USS Hornet and did an overnight on, of all nights, Halloween out there, and had my own set of encounters and caught some pretty extraordinary EVPs. And a lot of yelling and banging and, you know, things that were caught on tape that were not heard by any of us, you know, in the living sense. Also on the Queen Mary here several weeks back, I was in Los Angeles and spent a couple of nights aboard this Queen Mary, and was thoroughly convinced it's haunted as hell. That whole ship is just you know, brimming with it. And there's just something about military vessels, or vessels like, you know, the Queen Mary, that were used by the military for troop transport, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that kind of thing happens. And so I wouldn't doubt him. I wouldn't doubt him at all.
He
I'd like
was
to hear,
on
hear...
the USS Tarawa LHA-1.
Let me write that down. T-A-R-A-W-A.
T-A-R-A-W-A, LHA-1.
I don't know what a LHA-1 is, but we're going to find out about that. And,
oh, no.
Probably should bring him on onto a show here, maybe in the next week or two, and have him talk about
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah, hey, Doc, you want to come on our show and talk about it? That'd be great.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know, and we'll give you, you know, your 15 minutes and talk about it, and kind of pull up some facts about your ship, and who knows, we may be able to find some interesting things about it. I do, you know, want to bring up a good point, though, with regard to both animal spirits and human spirits, is there's when you see a spectral figure, it's not often the case that it's just a misty figure. It's transparent. Sometimes they can look exactly like, you know, the living, and they even have mass, so you can actually touch them. And it takes a lot of energy for them to do that, but they can do that. And so,
oh, Doc says sure.
Yeah. So, he's willing to do it.
This is
okay,
an LHA is a landing helicopter assault ship.
Huh.
That would be interesting, right there.
Assault ship. But was this in Vietnam?
Vietnam, Doc? Sounds like we have a true blue American veteran. I salute you, sir. Thank you very much for helping keeping me free.
Yeah, and for everybody who's served this country, thank you for your service. You know,
thank you.
We really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we're Americans here. I just
damn right.
It, by the way. Damn no, straight, Pilgrim.
Nope, it wasn't Vietnam.
Oh, it wasn't Vietnam? Was it World War II?
No. We've got to, no, and he says thank you. Well, no, you're welcome, sir. I appreciate very much your service
to my country. Yeah, it sounds like it might have been something more recent. So we'll find out more as we go forward with that. But I'll research that ship. I got that in the notes here to go look it up, and then we'll find out some more about it. So
we have Skype, yes.
Okay, let's see, no callers calling in yet, so what we're going to go forward with is, so back to this story by Dale, he's talking about the great love of an animal, and that sometimes if you lose this animal and you have a lot of grief, it will have your animal actually return for a short time. And that's real similar to the story of, you know, the loss of our, you know, my own pet, where he kind of stayed around. We were seeing him, and, you know, we were just, for a week, we were just seeing this blur, you know, kind of this blurry figure, and then he would just disappear. And it was just heartbreaking. But, you know, things eventually got a little better, and we quit seeing him. But every year, you know, it's this thing with the pressing on the feet, you know, and on the back of the legs, you know. And I haven't had it happen because I'm the one that took his life, and I feel so horrible about it. But, you know, I think he's still pretty pissed at me, so I don't blame him. But he was especially close to my mother, and so that's the person he goes to. But one day I hope he comes up and presses on me, then I'll go, okay, it's cool. Let me look here. Now, on the back side of this article, it talks about in the Chicago suburbs at the border of civilization and the Cook County Forest Preserves is a fairly busy intersection, 95th Street and Keene. There are stables nearby on horse riding trails that wind their way through the lush flora. One of the trails must cross the busy and dangerous 95th Street to continue to the other side. Until recently, there was no traffic control device there to allow those on horseback to cross safely, and quite a number of people were injured, and at least 7 were killed, including some horses as well. The reason the intersection is so dangerous is twofold. One, that the speed limit of 45 miles per hour is there, but many people do 50 miles an hour or better coming out of the forest preserve going into the city. And two, there is a rise that obscures the driver's view of the individuals attempting to cross the street. So at that speed, by the time they get to the top of the rise and see the people, it's already too late.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been numerous incidents, especially at night or near dusk, of motorists complaining of seeing what appears to be a horse and his rider in silhouette attempting to cross from one side of the road to another. But as the driver begins to slow down and watch them more carefully, suddenly there's nothing there. These figures don't simply disappear near one side of the street or the other, but often right in the middle of the road. And they're best seen described as smoky, gray silhouettes without any recognizable features, and are often only seen from afar. And there have been even ghostly reenactments of some actual events at that intersection as well. On one occasion, a motorist saw what appeared to be a horse throwing its rider from the saddle right in the middle of the road before disappearing. Some have seen a horse apparently being dragged down the roadway a bit as though a car had impacted with it and would have dragged it a little ways before coming to a complete stop. So these sorts of things, I guess, do happen, especially when there's been an accident and that kind of thing. Not exactly, quote, a pet. I mean, even though he's writing about, you know, pets per se, and animal ghosts, this is more a replay type incident, what he's talking about. But if you're for intelligent animal hunts, the thing that I'm picking up in all of this is that they tend to be kind of sporadic. You know, like the one we have with this one on this property, you know, it's 5 times a year maybe. And it seems to happen at fairly semi-regular intervals, but you never quite know when it's going to hit. And it's not like human haunts, which seem to be more deliberate, more focused on getting around people and trying to make their presence known. I mean, what do you think, Kat?
You know, along those lines, I'm just curious if we can relate to human spirits because we're humans. The longest time I wondered if pets give off an electromagnetic field. I don't know. I have a cat that runs through my dining room, and because I have his ashes by my bed.
Huh.
But as far as picking him up on, I'm extremely sensitive, and I can see him. But I can't feel him, but I can see him. And his name was Hampton, and he was huge, and he died of a megacolon, and it was very ugly, and I grieved for him for a very long time. He's been dead 6 years, but I have his ashes. I had him privately cremated because I knew he'd come back.
And you still have this experience?
Yes. Oh, yeah. All the time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Excuse me.
I love every minute of it.
Well, I'm looking.
I want to ask you a question, Mr. John. I want to get
okay.
your opinion on something. Do you think that as many men died on the battlefields of Gettysburg, do you think that people pick up on horses too? Because I know they rode horses into battle. And I have not heard of many dying, but I'm sure they did.
Oh, I'm absolutely certain of that. I think that, you know, what we're talking about tonight, just a casual inspection of all this, you know, any time human beings come into contact with other, you know, entities, which, like animals of, you know, horses, donkeys, mules, that kind of thing, and which are very valuable. And people form relationships with them, just like we have cats and dogs, the relationships we have. I tend to think that there would have been a real connection there. And I do think that, you know, I've heard stories of Civil War animals, ghosts. I don't have any specifics right now, but I think that's entirely possible that those things are valid, probably regular haunts. I don't know if it would be this nearly the same frequency as what's seen, you know, out on the battlefield now, all these years later. But I'm sure that they are seen. But I think it's entirely possible. Yeah, no doubt.
I actually, looking back on, you know, my sister's experience, and I see that. Phil's telling us in the chat room that his mother actually passed in 2003 and had her two dogs buried with her, and he actually heard one of the dogs bark after the funeral.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not saying this, but I'm just because we're just kind of generally talking about it. It would make more sense for me to see my departed cat run in front of me right after he had died, then like six years later when I think about him, but I don't think about him all the time. So for me to see him now, I know he's doing it. It's not my mind formulating this image for me to see.
Yeah, that's kind of like our cases here where we have just, you know, where Piwacket makes his appearance. You know, the minute I did some EVP work, and not only that, to somebody who didn't know, I'd gone in and stirred things up. You know, of all people, my mother witnessed this. And then I tell her after the fact what happened. So, yeah, it adds a little credibility to it that there is some intelligence there and that they can be interacted with.
So you think you're thinking like me, as time passes, it becomes a little more, not credible, but it seems a little more plausible that it would occur.
Yeah,
you're not
thinking
about it anymore.
I think it's any cases where you're not, quote, the driver kicking it into place. It's not that these things don't happen right after the event where they die and all that, because they do. But I think it adds the credibility that it is potentially a spirit hanging around earthbound of a small creature, a dog or a cat, that would be connected to you and maybe didn't feel the need to go on and
right.
Was somewhat confused and did not know to go to the light. And so they lived their lives like they always did. And I can't tell you the number of times I've walked around on the property and felt like something was looking at me out there, and not human. I mean, it felt like it was one of our animals, and you go look around and there's, you know, you're looking for living cats that we have. We have, you know, a couple here. And
then there's your neighbor's cats, you know.
Yeah, and there's the neighbors, and you're looking for that. So I tend to think it's true, you know, what you're saying. Hey, we are coming up on the half-hour break, so I'm going to go ahead and switch over and play a little music and organize a couple of notes, because you that other link you sent, I'll pull up a few stories to talk about, the shadows.
I have a story off that link about a phantom tiger.
Okay, and I've got the Shadow Squirrel Guardian. So
I thought you were going to do the red chicken.
Nah, I figured the Squirrel Guardian made sense. It just looked good. So, and a cute story, you know, something.
Yay! Cute and fuzzy.
Yeah, cute and fuzzy. Anyway, I'm just going to grab a song at random out of the pile. So what we get, okay?
Cool.
Thank you. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
God, I love Halo music.
I know, you love that Halo thing.
Oh man, Master Chief, get the weapon systems out, just starting to shooting the crap out of anything that moves.
That's why I play mercenaries, John.
Like Covenant forces, so you just kill those little grunts, those little bastards. Sorry.
That's why I play mercenaries. For real, blow the crap out of it. Blow the crap out of it again. Keep blowing the crap out of it.
Just something about it, very American about just flinging a lot of lead at something and letting it just
letting it
fly, you know, and watching stuff break and going, okay, I feel better now. Anyway, hey, we're back here. We're talking about ghosts of various pets and animals and things that we've you know, potentially seen and felt in our lives with regard to our own pets. And I did look at the chicken thing.
I know. Can you believe that?
Oh God, a chicken ghost! I had to read it. I hadn't even seen that one. I just caught the other. But we'll go through three of them real quick. So Crazy Red, the chicken ghost. My husband and I purchased a small farmhouse, a few acres of land in a rural Pennsylvania. At the closing, the owners at the time asked us if we'd like to keep the two cats that lived in the barn, and if we did, they would give us six hens that were currently housed in a small hen house alongside of the barn, and they were assured they'd get eggs and all that. And so for quite some time, I guess they had these chickens, and they all had names. There were two black ones, two red ones, and two white ones. And they all had quirky personalities, and one of the chickens was noticeably of the skittish type, and thus it was named Crazy Red. And Crazy Red ran everywhere she went, and I do mean everywhere. I felt quite sorry for her at the time, as she seemed afraid of her own shadow. My husband and I would always comment on Crazy Red. There she goes again. Wonder what she's running from now. And it got to be a huge joke, and we started making up things that she could be running from. Well, after the years passed and they became old and didn't lay eggs anymore, they kept the routine going, and only the cats did get a fresh egg every day. And eventually the chickens started dying one by one. And the last two were Crazy Red and Queenie. And one morning early in the season, she went to feed the chickens and found Crazy Red really sick. So she took her to the vet and they couldn't do anything for her. And the poor chicken died in her arms, and she buried Crazy Red along with the others, you know, and that left Queenie. And the following fall, after Crazy Red passed, I was winterizing my barn on one of those warm, sunny fall days that are so typical of autumns where they lived, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, excuse me. I had been working on putting plastic up so the cold wind wouldn't go in, get into the barn and chill my horses. Mm-hmm. I'd been working approximately 3 hours when I decided I needed to sit for a few minutes and take a break. As I was walking down the aisleway of my barn, I saw Crazy Red go running past the barn door. Much to my amazement, I never gave it a second thought at the time. I just thought, there goes Crazy Red, and laughed. I took my two-minute break, got up, and just finished the plastic to block the wind, fed the horses, and called for Queenie to come on in. And lo and behold, to my amazement, I had realized I had not let Queenie out of the enclosed grassy area that morning, and realized at that moment I had actually seen the ghost of a chicken, Crazy Red. And goes on to say she was sad and then immediately glad that she had seen this dead chicken. You got to wonder about Colonel Sanders and all the... Oh. God, it just gives you. I know. But just think about it. All those chickens you've had. Hamster ghost. This one actually, it's pretty interesting. This little hamster this guy had died, and this person that had it was lying on the bed reading when he felt something walking next to his pillow. And he thought his brother's hamster had gotten loose, so I turned to grab him, but there was nothing there. So I went downstairs to tell my dad, who was watching TV, and he told me I had imagined it. So I went back upstairs, and later that night I was lying on my bed watching TV when I felt something walking across the bed toward me. When I looked down, I didn't see anything. But then as I watched my bedspread, little prints like those of a tiny hamster's paws would make like that of tiny hamster paws that would be making appeared walking towards me. Then I felt something nuzzling my face, and then suddenly it was gone, just like that. I knew it was my hamster telling me that it was okay to be sad about his passing, but I had to move on. I still miss him, but it doesn't hurt so much now because I know he's watching out for me. Now, that's touching.
Aww.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it kind of gets you right there, doesn't it?
I love those little teddy bear hamsters. They're so cute.
Oh, God.
They used to have one. I put a little hamster ball. It used to roll around. It was great.
Well, you had one of these stories, too, the ghost tiger.
Phantom tiger.
Yeah.
That's out of Maine.
Why don't you read it?
Well, I have the gist of it memorized.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, because I collect tigers and things, so I have an affection for them. But anyways, there was a young man that was coming down the stairs of their family home and happened to look up at the door that had glass in it and saw a tiger walk past the door. And he thought, well, you know, there's no tigers there around Maine. So he proceeded down the stairs and went around to the kitchen and was looking out this window with these blinds that were half open, so he really didn't have to move the blinds to look out. And this tiger appeared, he could see the black stripes, but it looked like it was an old photograph. It was like it was faded, but you could see the tiger, and the tiger was just walking around out in the yard like it was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it vanished.
Well, you know, people own these animals. It's quite likely it could have been just somebody had one in the area. I mean,
there were no tigers in the area.
Well, at one time, though, who knows? I mean, it could have been in the, you know, somebody, maybe it died of a traveling circus. I mean,
yeah, maybe there was a circus. But, you know, the thing about these stories that we're reading is what we talked about a few minutes ago. This guy came down the stairs and looked up and saw a tiger. He wasn't thinking about tigers. He hadn't lost a tiger. So it makes it just a little bit more credible if you're not thinking about it and you see it. So, because on the other end of the scale, you know, I have friends that have gone to see these scary movies with all the special effects, and they come home and they hear the slightest noise in their house, and they're on the phone to me. You know, get your butt over here. I just heard something upstairs, and I'm like, didn't you just go see that damn movie? I'm gonna have to borrow that recording and play it over the phone for my friends. Listen to them scream and run.
Yeah, you play that for them when they call you, okay?
I'll go over there with my recorder and set it up and go, oh, did you hear that?
I think I'll play Dr. Strangelove next. Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The only song that you cannot play is that Bigfoot thing. I swear to God, I laughed so hard I thought I was going to die.
That was good, wasn't it? Well, yesterday's song, the one with the shootout, the one with the...
That song is insane. That, yeah, that did it right there, man. You do that...
I've still got it. I actually haven't deleted it out of the show archive. I could put it on tonight at the end of the show. And it kind of fits the show. I mean, it has to deal with the man and the horse, you know, and trying to protect all his friends and their pet animals.
Yeah, in a roundabout kind of way.
I don't know. A ghost tiger. I like that because what would it mean that somebody just is walking along in their house,
mm-hmm.
and see this thing wandering through the house?
It was wandering outside in the property.
Walking
outside.
I see it. Okay, I'm reading it right here. It was walking
Walked right by the front door.
You know, there has to be some history there. I mean, maybe they haven't looked hard enough because obviously he says no history of tigers, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't know what really happened in the past there. And stranger things have happened. So I would be willing to bet there's something to do with a tiger that happened on or near that property.
You know what's interesting about that story, too, is he didn't seem threatened by it. Did not seem threatened by it at all. Just walked up to the window to see if he could see it again, saw it again, watched it disappear.
Well, here's one with the shadow squirrels. This one, guy was talking about it. He was about 10 years old, and he was shooting his BB gun, and he got, when one of his friends came by with a slingshot, and he got this great idea to shoot at this squirrel that had been making noise at him for a long time. So boys being what boys do, they began chasing it, shooting at it the whole time, and their parents called him in to say it was bedtime and time to go to sleep. So they went home and fell into bed, and after many mystical dreams, woke up to someone shaking me. And when I opened my eyes, I was being held by the throat, and my feet weren't even touching my bed. As I looked at the arm that was holding me and I really focused on it, I noticed that it was black like a shadow, and it led up to a shadowy figure. After me staring at it, it was apparently staring at me. It tilted its head and let out some noise that sounded like thunder and a violin being played by someone who's never touched one before. This puzzled me for a bit because it had no mouth, no eyes, and it looked, its eyes looked like a dark blue marbles, and the top of its head looked like a unique crown upon it, a crown of horns. After a bit of this noise, it stopped and tilted its head, shook me again, and pulled its left hand out, which was holding a dead squirrel by the tail. There was more rumbling and screeching, then it shook me, and all of a sudden I fell to my bed and bumped my head on the arm of it. And after a bit of looking around and not seeing this creature again, I fell back to sleep. And when he woke up, he did his short chores as usual, fed the dogs, cleaned house, did all the stuff that he was supposed to do, opened the front door, and his foot hit something, looked down, and he saw a dead squirrel on the porch.
Oh, my God.
I tend to think it was death came to Colin to tell the kid to quit killing squirrels. What do you think?
He was visited by the mean, ornery squirrel gods.
No, he was visited by death. Death incarnate. Death came to talk to this kid and going, do you really want me to screw around with you? I kind of like that. It's a good story. It kind of fits.
Would have been even more scarier if he'd woke up and found a little nut underneath his pillow or something. Would have died.
Important safety tip for the whole audience. Tell your kids, don't shoot at squirrels. It's not cool. They're more intelligent than you think.
You're going to put your eye out with that thing.
Yeah, that's terrible. But you know, crown of horns and eyes like dark blue marbles. So evidently it took whatever it was, had a sense of morality because it was really trying to impress on him not to be doing that. So kudos to whatever that shadow was, and keep doing that to kids that are getting out of control. You know, that could actually work for inner city violence and that kind of thing. I think that'd really be a great thing. Oh gosh.
Doc's in the chat room and he says, I have a low voice. We were on an investigation and on one of our junior investigators was sitting there and I said, get out. And she said, did you hear that?
Get out.
I told him he was mean. He laughed.
Get out of here now. I will possess your soul.
My God. We're a torturous group.
I know. You know, there's something about the older investigators. We like to take these young kids and just mess with their heads. I kind of like that. I'd like to hunt with you, Doc. That sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know where he's based out of, but he's in California. Give us a call sometime.
That'd be pretty damn fun.
Speaking
of which, we have actually horses here and cats. And, you know, every once in a while, I don't know where it comes from, but because the people that live below me have two dogs, and every time somebody comes to the door, they bark.
Right.
Well, they haven't lived downstairs for very long, and before they moved in there, I'd swear to God I could hear a dog bark, and it was coming from, he's in Southern California, and I'd swear it was coming from downstairs, but there was no dogs down there. And I live on old farmland. So I would wonder if it possibly wasn't residual.
Well, that's kind of like some of the things that, like this kid talking about that, of all things, that hamster. you know, the little footprints and things like that. And I've heard things that, you know, on investigations that I wasn't sure were human. It could have been animal noises like that.
I've had things growl at me.
Yeah, that happened to me on the Hornet. I had me and a docent were standing there and got growled at by something in the into the operating rooms next to the sick bay, not long after TAPS had been there. And we went in and did our thing, and that thing growled. And, you know, I don't scare too easy, but the hair went up on the back of me. We jumped about 3 feet and looked at each other and went, that's not normal at all. And
yeah. You're being growled at on an old aircraft carrier.
Safety tip, yeah. Hey, here's one here. Continuing on with that animal ghost article, there was a section I missed here. In the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia, stands the large grave marker of author Ellen Glasgow, who was well known in Richmond and lived there for a good portion of her life. When she died, she stipulated in her will that her two pet dogs who had died prior to her death be exhumed from her backyard and buried with her at Hollywood. Many claim that they have heard these dogs on occasions scampering around quite near to that grave late at night. At the Hillsdale Animal Cemetery in a suburb just southwest of Chicago, another mystery takes place. Passerbys have often seen the black forms of dogs and other creatures flicker by in their headlights, many times causing them to slam on the brakes, and only when they do, there's often nothing there, and perhaps some real animals are attracted to the massive remains of so many other animals, perhaps and perhaps not. On a similar vein, I had something happen when I just was a brand new driver. I was maybe 17 years old and was driving back with my father from our second home in Paradise, California, which made the news some years back, last year or so, with all the big fires there. We had a house right in the middle of where all that happened. I was driving along and, just on a straightaway, just past Oroville, heading towards the town of Marysville, and had just gotten on our normal straightaway, was prepared for just, you know, normal cruising. And my father was sitting next to me asleep, and I'm driving a little Toyota, truck. And all of a sudden I look up and there's an old man standing in front of me, and I was closing in so fast I had no time to really maneuver. I slammed right as much as I could without turning the truck over, and the left side of the mirror hit this guy. Okay, but the weird part was this guy, he looked like an old Chinese kind of immigrant type, but he had these kind of neat clothes on. They were kind of blackish colored, and he had a strange designs on the clothing. And the left part of the mirror actually went through him, and it made this kind of electric kind of noise. I don't know. It was like a tearing, electrical tearing noise. And I just completely lost it. You know, got the car pulled over, jumped out. My father's going, "What's going on?" And I'm going, "I hit a guy! I hit a guy!" And I'm looking all over. There was nobody there. You know, and I'm looking under the car, I'm looking at everything, and my father thinks I've lost my mind, and I'm going, I hit this guy, I know I hit him, I saw him, and I described him. And I found out later there's been a number of sightings of something like that in and around that area on that straightaway. There's been these sightings of that kind of thing. So I've had the experience myself of driving and having a paranormal event driving, and I can understand what these people are feeling with regard to these animals, because you just swear you're seeing this, and to actually hit it and then find no damage at all, you know, I don't know. So I have no doubts that this animal cemetery thing is happening, and you know, it brings up an interesting point. For those investigators out there, it might not be a bad idea just to take some EVP gear out and go out and check out some of these animal cemeteries.
Right.
And see what you pick up. You know, it's one thing to do human beings, but another, you know, entirely. If this is the case, then maybe there's some areas that we can investigate and just find out a little bit more. Who knows?
Now, on the flip side to what you're talking about, I have heard, I've not witnessed. I have heard that some of these places where these satanic rituals take place and they do animal sacrifices, people have actually reported seeing things called devil dogs. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of these devil dogs, but I certainly have heard of enough of them to believe that they exist. They are black dogs, and they have glowing red eyes, and they are quite fierce. And people have actually been chased through the woods by these dogs, and you can feel their breath on the back of your legs. They're so close to you, but yet when you leave the forest, if you get out and you turn around, they're gone. But everybody that I have ever heard describe these animals, whether in a book, on tape, or otherwise, they all have these glowing red eyes, and none of these people know each other. So it's not a collaborative type hype story. It's actually quite true. And we have woods around here where people have seen these things.
Why don't we research this some more and find out more about it and bring it up on a future show? I mean, because it does sound intriguing. I've heard of it, but I've never known the full details of it. I believe what folks are saying, because if there's multiple accounts from people who don't know each other and they're saying the same thing, something's going on. And is this all across the nation or across the world?
It's globally. They have a lot of sightings in England, but they also have them here. And they all seem to be surround the woods. There's been a couple of cases that I've heard of that it actually has to do with the road, but it usually surrounds the woods, and they're called devil dogs. Hmm. And I believe they exist. I can believe that. I can believe that you can turn an animal spirit into something very, very ugly.
Well, I do know that there are people who do occult activity and that kind of thing, and who knows what they're doing out there in those woods, but it could have something to do with it. I remember some of those videos you brought that we looked at, that seemed to kind of play along those lines. So we'll have to look into this some more.
Well, I think Zombie Road is a good place to start down there in Missouri.
That's the one I was thinking of. Because I was just trying to remember the name of that place with that forest with was just filled with all kinds of just
shadow figures.
Friggin' evil, man.
Friggin' evil.
There's friggin' evil out there on Zombie Road. I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to go into any place. I've done a lot of pretty whacked out places, but that one I definitely would not go into alone. That's when you go in with full team and perhaps even armed to the teeth. I don't know. I mean,
you can't shoot something that isn't alive.
I don't care. I'm taking some with me, okay? Give me some lead. Give me something. All right, electromagnetic weapons, anything, but I'm not going in without something. At least a UV light. You know, I'm told that ghosts don't like UV lights or something.
Halogens.
Yeah, halogens too. Anything that can drive them back a bit, okay. But, you know, hey, we're coming up towards the close of the show. Had a good time. You know, for just an ad hoc show, just throwing something together quick.
Doc wants us to let him know when we want him on.
Yeah, if he can give us shoot a message to me on the show page and or to Kat. We both got our links on there for our pages on I Am Haunted. I'm Tomcat on IamHaunted.com, and there's of course Kat. And you're what _KAT_?
Yeah, my page is private. You can catch me on my MySpace page.
Okay, so just get into contact with one of us. You'll see our
Or send me a message right off my blog talk page.
Yeah, and same here. So we'll go ahead and schedule you on in let's just say the next week or two and get that all finalized and then go forward and get your bio and all that kind of thing put together.
Let's do it.
And have you on. Sure, let's
do
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to be on again this coming Saturday with Carla Hicklin talking about her books and reincarnation and some interesting things like that. I've already been on doing some of the research, Kat, so we'll be going forward with that, and I'm sure you're going to find a few things. And if we can happen to find some reincarnation music, I've already been looking for some of that, some interesting things to play.
I have some of that.
Yeah, so let's see if we can put together some of that.
Pull it out of my vast library.
Tell you what, you know, I'm going to play that just so some of these guys get a laugh out of what we played last night. What do you think? You think they're up for a little comedy?
Oh, God. Does that mean, you know, for those of you that have not listened to our show, or for those of you that do know, John likes to play these songs that make me snort because he thinks it's funny.
Okay, this is called The Last Blast of Gungadin.
That's
here
right.
It goes. Okay.
The Legend of Gungadin. Let us recreate that moment. With the enemy waiting in ambush, the humble water boy sees his beloved comrades rapidly approaching the deadly trap. He realizes fully well that sounding the bugle to warn them might mean certain death. Undaunted and oblivious to consequence, he bravely raises the bugle to his mouth and...
Dude's friggin' dead, man. So we'll just let this play through.
Oh, shit.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. We're going out in a blaze of glory.
So I've belted you and flayed you by the living God that made you. You're a better man than I am, Gungadin.
Well, this will go into the archive. So I got the timing off a little bit, but I had a good time with that.
I just think that's funny.
Yeah, we'll just go on for a little while longer. But hey, it was a great show. Enjoyed talking about spirits and animals. I think the thing that I come out of this with is that they're not. I don't think that ghosts of animals are quite like us, regular human ghosts or, inhuman spirits that have an intelligence that are comparable to us or exceed us, but they are nonetheless real, and I think they're even bound by what we would call love, and they have those connections to us and to the people they care about. They tend to come and be around them, and the tiger thing I think that you talked about might have been this guy's totem animal, letting him know that there was something that he needed to do.
I don't know.
So there's some, his animals like that have representing great power, and him showing no fear of it, that speaks quite loudly of a higher calling or some higher spiritual quest that's going on. So
I think just because of what I do and what I can do and what my gift is, and the people that I've spoken to, I wonder if it's the same with an animal as it is with a person that gives off this huge negative vibe that you can just, I don't care who you are, you can just feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if animals are the same way?
Well, I think that the fact that they have personalities just like we do, I tend to think that they do. And, you know, some animals I just really don't care for. You know, it's just the way they are. Others that are, you can tell they're kind of funny or very loving or just very dedicated to you. And, you know, they're your friend and they're part of the family, you know. And, you know, I know, I just think that's how it is.
But if it appeared to you as a loving creature, would it appear the same to somebody else?
I don't know. I mean, that's the strange thing about being human, you know, what we think we see one way, another person will see another. And it's just, as I've gotten older and gone on in life, I just find that I'm more and more perplexed by the entire thing. I used to think I had a pretty good beat on things, and now I find, even though I have very set, you know, as you well know, political preferences and views about how things should be, I'm not so comfortable running around, you know, thinking that I have the full understanding of it all.
Well, nobody does.
You know, so my feeling is, if you live your life by your example, and not running around just trying to be, you know, just say this is how it is going to be, blah blah blah. But you know, live your life as you intend, as your testament. And I think that kind of gets the point across. That said, I don't know. I mean, what we came out of this with? I do like the one story I still got up here on the page with the Shadow Squirrel Guardian. I just really think that was, I think that was justice, man. I think that was friggin' death, and letting it be known. And I, you know, I don't know of any boy who hasn't done things like that, including myself. You know, way back when I was a kid and I was given my first gun, I was off, you know, shooting at anything that moved for a while. And I think it's just a phase that boys go through. But this guy evidently ran into the right figure who pulled him aside and just scared the, you know, what out of him.
I wonder if it's maybe a like if your grandfather really didn't approve of you shooting things like that and he passed away, perhaps he came back and said, you know, you got to stop doing this.
Yeah, I tend to think that's, it was something like that, although I don't think this was any human at all. I think it was something else, and I think it got the point across.
Yeah, well,
you just wish
that's
what
it was supposed to do.
I think it did a good job, but, oh, my goodness. Let's see. Oh, I can't find you.
I'd really like to do some research on these devil dogs. Now, I have heard multiple, and I do mean frightening, multiple stories about these devil dog things. And the curious part about it is, on a couple of them, I have heard that they were reputed to be satanic rituals out there in the woods where they did sacrifice dogs.
Yeah, and then trying to actually use spellcraft and that kind of thing to create things that, or call forth things that are not from here. Yeah, you know, you start getting into some of those areas and you go, this is getting interesting.
I can give you my opinion on it, but it's
go
just
ahead.
My opinion. There are beings on the other side of the veil that do not possess the energy level it takes to pass over to this world. I believe that these devil dogs are created here. They are born here. They are concocted here, and they execute their purpose here. I don't believe they come from anywhere else but here. They come from pure evil.
Well, yeah, I tend to think they're created by...
They're manifestations. That's what they are.
They're manifestations created by people, by
yes.
intent.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's human beings that are obviously misguided. You know,
right.
And they've seen... Mm-hmm. seem to think that that's the way you get things done, and no, it doesn't work that way. But I've never run into anything like that, but on the other hand, I don't think I ever would want to run into anything like that. But yeah, if you want to find some more information out about it, we'll talk about it a little bit. and then go forward.
I know I told you about that place up at Index that I go to with the rose that never dies and the lady that
I have
tea with. Yeah. It's up around that area where I've heard reports of these dogs. And if that's the case, I'm not sure how many people I can get to go with me, but, you know, hell, I'll go up there. I don't care.
I don't know.
Doesn't bother
where
me.
At, where at is exactly is this at?
It's a town called Index. It's up headed towards Stevens Pass, up Highway 2.
Yeah.
Up by Gold Bar and Sultan. It's right on the Skycomish.
The Skycomish?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. I'm just going to try something here. I think you like this song. It's up on the Skycomish. Home of the Bigfoot Boogie. Yeah. Playing a little bit of music.
You want to dance, John?
One time when I was out in the woods.
God, not this. Come to think of it, I danced with you in the kitchen. That's what I did.
Yeah.
You were real happy with it, but I didn't.
Sasquatch. Maybe he's the boss. Something is swinging in the Sasquatch way. Boogie, boogie, Bigfoot, boogie now. I know you like this song.
Well, hell yeah. He can practically hold in the palm of his hand. He never takes the back of his hand. He's always naked and he doesn't care. But if you're scared of him, take my advice. You know, he smells kind of funky, but he's pretty nice. He's a Bigfoot, Sasquatch. He's the boss. See him shuffle, see him sway. I'm singing in the Sasquatch. So entertaining. Boogie, Bigfoot, funny. What the hell?
Get the cameras out, man.
We've got to find Bigfoot.
There, some of the bridge, son of a bitch. We've got to find the Bigfoot creatures. Fuck.
Don't make me do it. Come on now.
Please snort.
Why? No.
But I found this. So I got it on my... I had it on my EVP computer. I somehow got on there.
Right. Oh, God. You're funny.
He's bashful.
Bashful.
He doesn't want to end up living in a zoo.
Well, hell, I don't either.
I screwed up. I knocked it off. Oh, sorry about that. Anyway.
The hell? Yeah.
I could play it back. Do you want?
You give and then you just take it away.
All right.
You're
here
mean.
We go. Start all over again. Snort.
I appreciate the smiles in this very trying time.
Damn straight.
This is all they seem to talk about on the news around here.
It's the time to make people laugh and bring back good memories.
See him shuffle, see him sway. Something is swinging in the Sasquatch way. Look at now.
He can practically hold you in the palm of his hand. He never takes a bath. He's covered with hair.
He never takes a bath. That's gross.
Get up
use toilet nice. Paper either.
There it went. Got a snort.
Stop it. Oh, God. I know you live for it.
Oh, cat. Oh, cat.
Stop it. I have never laughed so hard with that other Bigfoot song, though. That just... I don't know what happened.
Side of a Sasquatch, bad things happen, Pilgrim.
That's right. You just stand downwind from them things, too, man. Those things stink.
You've actually smelled, well, yeah, you had your sighting. You actually smelled that one, I'm sure.
I don't, you know what? I don't remember if I did. I mean, I remember the big details, but I don't remember the little ones. So I would say, okay, if people say that they smell bad, okay, it probably did. But what made me run from it is that it stood the hell up, and I realized it didn't have paws, it had hands.
Yeah, and it starts to get bigger and bigger, and then once you hit the 900-pound, 8-foot-tall humanoid, it kind of gets your attention.
It looked definitely at not, me.
Definitely not Yoda, right? I mean...
No. We have two volcanoes blowing up. One in Vulcan, Chile, and the other one is, of course, Readout is puking.
Well, hang on just a sec. We got something going here.
No, no, Don, no, no. Do I have to sit through this?
That's Georgia riding in your Cherokee into Blue Ridge National Park. She stops for drinks with the bulky brunette that you met in the dark. But when you wake up in the morning with your hair on fire, you know the legend, the same thing happened to me. Because she turned out to be a
Bigfoot creature.
Still have known somehow she growls. She a Bigfoot. That will teach you to be proud.
Bigfoot last night. Whoa.
So when chasing tail on the mutant trail, the women seem to dress as the game. Like the
can't
cat
handle it.
The bottle with fangs who just grunted her name.
Oh no.
But now you just don't remember all the things she did, and you ask why it hurt when you cough. I'll give you one hint, buddy, your cheeks ain't off you at all.
He ripped off his feet. Oh, no. No. Oh, God, I got tears running out of my face. Oh, man. I cannot handle that song. I swear to God.
Laser him. Or there's always waxing. Or, you know, you could always just follow my ear.
Don't look at me, man.
Oh, no, I'm just having too much fun. I found all these songs. I'm going, oh, I didn't know I'd uploaded these. So, oh, my goodness.
You're doing it at my expense.
I did it. That's my purpose here. Yeah.
That's, I know. I totally, I know. It's always has been.
Let's see. What's this one?
I don't know.
What do we do now?
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo. Oh, no, not
one,
that Tookie Tookie song.
Oh, yeah, I do this all the time.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, and Tookie Tookie don't work. Sorry.
I do this on investigations all the time.
What do you say, Ira? Pack it in?
What, Tookie Tookie?
So beautiful to me.
Step back, Harry. I'm going to shoot him. No, stand down. I'm going to kill this one myself.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoops. Sorry.
What happened?
What do we do now?
I moved the mouse. Sorry. Oh. Here we go. We'll play that. I do that every morning when I shower.
I think we've established that cock and tookie don't work. Right.
I've heard you do it.
Pack it in.
You are so beautiful.
Aww.
Step back, Harry. I'm going to shoot him. No, stand down. Look for myself.
Give me a chance. I'm communicating here.
You are so beautiful to me.
We're going to start playing this on investigations.
Could you please stop because you are embarrassing me?
Can't you see?
I have team member tryouts. Who can sing the best? Who can call in alien creatures?
You're everything I hope for.
Yep. Oh, baby.
I can sing better than that. Damn.
Yeah, sing. Rub some funk on it.
Yeah, rub some funk.
And you're everything I need.
Wham!
You grab the girl, I'm gonna get the bird. Got it.
You are so beautiful to me. To me.
Cool, man.
So that's the end of that one. Damn,
wait,
that's funny.
I swear to God, I will never shoplift again.
Good.
Good.
I love the music from Evolution. That was a movie.
So what do you want? Lightly or dark?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Lit now.
Yep. Uh-oh. Here comes.
This is what every GRI investigation begins with. Oh, yeah.
Feeling so loud. I decided quickly. Break the EFF beaters out to show.
Oh, what, guy? I remember that. You were like, white guy. I was like, no. That's not how it goes.
Wow. Fighting the alien menace can be tough work.
And so is keeping your hair clean, shiny,
dandruff-free. But we always keep a healthy supply of
head and shoulders around the house.
Keeping it clean and shiny.
You know, they should have done a follow-up movie on that. They did that movie in 2001, and it was just great.
Why don't they do another one?
I don't know. It was his one attempt at comedy, and he was great at it. You know, I'm trying to remember the actor's name that played in that. It's the guy who played, I think, Mulder on X-Files.
David Duchovny?
David Duchovny, yeah. He was the star on that, and it was a great show. So I don't know. I hope they come back and do a remake of that, or not a remake, but a follow-on, and carry forth with the next thing.
Right.
Okay. Bionic Bigfoot. We got the Bionic Bigfoot here. Just loving. I'm just enjoying playing some music. It's great to. You can leave your hat on. Oh, we got a little stripper music here. No, I don't think so. Yeah. Okay. Already gone. God, what other things have we got going here? What's didgeridoo? Oh, nope. Can't have any of those Australian ghosts on tonight. Huh.
Hop, nope, hop, nope.
Lonely Rose. Here we go. Nope. We gotta have something. Hooked up with a Bigfoot. Well, we got Yoda.
I met him in a swamp down a
table
by
the
like
a
got a little rat sitting there on a log.
Yoda.
My only name,
Yoda.
Yoda.
It says he looks like a Muppet, but he's wrinkled and green, right?
I know. Yeah, exactly.
I can't freaking believe it. Yoda.
I need a friggin' force on investigations, man.
High enough, man.
Damn straight, though. Man. God, you gotta love capitalism, man.
Know it.
Star friggin' Wars rules, man.
Did you ever open that file I sent you with the drunk Yoda?
No, I haven't seen it. I have to pull that up later when we shut the show down here. Oh, man. Had a good time.
Well, you know, you live to do this, and it's, you know, and you do it at my expense, but, you know.
I'm the one that paid all the money for the studio. The expense is only, it's just to make you laugh. That was all, yes, it was there. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole point is to make me snort. That's it.
That's exactly it. And let's see. Oh, my goodness. God, I've got so much stuff here in the. I've got Eagles, Evolution.
Don't make me come down there, John.
See, I love, you know, this is one of my favorites. Just, I'm going to do some work with this and do a custom GRI Evolution commercial. You know, something along. This just so fits kind of our preparations for a ghost investigation. It just works in its own strange way. So you and I could do a monologue, you know, promoting the show.
Yeah.
Back, you know.
Why not?
No, it just works out. So I'm going to have to get some, get you like to read a script and then do a soundtrack off of you and then mix it in.
Okay.
So I'm just going to bring that down and pan it down, okay? Oh, my God. Of course, what we have here is the Power Man 5000 bombshell. This is this kind of fits for your, kind of an average evening in Washington State.
Really? Listen.
Here it goes.
That's right.
It's righteous, isn't it, man?
I wonder if you can hear this.
We could play
I
that
wonder if you can hear this. Here, listen.
All right.
Listen, everything. It surrounds us. Binds us together. It's in the rock. The car. Your boner on the subway. That nice hoochie's ass in those tight leather pants. The kind you just want to smack and go, pay-ow, bitch. Sorry. Was I out of character, George? Sorry, I messed up.
Where'd you get that?
That's the drunk Yoda I sent you. I sent you this. Drunk Yoda. Yoda drunk on the set.
Oh, no.
That is just too freaking funny.
Oh, no. That ain't right. This is not right.
I sent it to you, though.
All right, I'll have to pull that down. But
for
anyway,
real, it's 32 seconds long. It's called Yoda Drunk on the Set.
Oh, my God.
It's funny. I sent you this. It's under, I sent it to you under a headline, stuff that'll never make the show, but it's funny anyways.
Kind of like that, yeah, that one.
The Cartmine one.
The Kirk and Spock one that
broke back Star Trek. Oh yeah.
Yeah, broke back Star Trek. I went, what? What's that? They started playing it. I went, oh my God. They did a really good job pasting that together, but it's kind of weird, you know. But, oh geez. Well, hey, you know what? It's getting to be late enough. I'm gonna go in and pack it up. Kind of start shutting down the studio and
really?
Think about. Yeah, I don't know. Unless you want to play some more crazy
well,
stuff.
Before I leave, I have one thing to say.
Space, the final frontier, specimen gathering mission on planet Alpha.
No!
Mr. Spock is much stronger than the ordinary human being.
Oh, God.
Aroused, his great physical strength could kill. But it's a risk I'll have to take.
Something bothering you, Mrs. Funk?
May I say that I have not thoroughly enjoyed serving with humans. I find their ill logic and foolish emotions a constant irritant.
Unlike you, we humans are full of unpredictable emotions.
Love. Tenderness.
Yes.
If I seem insensitive to what you're going through, Captain, understand. It's the way I am.
Don't be afraid. Here's my hand.
You are terrible. Oh, no.
It's painless and quick.
Oh, God. No.
Second Officer Spock.
It's possible we may have hit the wrong entry point.
Yes.
Very well, Captain. Try again.
Pleases you.
What are you waiting for? Hurry.
If you'll excuse the intrusion, Captain.
Oh, no.
Inappropriate choice of terms, Captain.
Oh, no.
I can't survive without him. I don't want to take him back. He's like an animal. A thoughtless
animal. Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Funny.
God, I can't believe you did that. Oh, God, we're never going to live this down. If Carla hears this, she's going to go, well, these people are crazy.
Wait till I whip out the Cartmine one.
Oh, God. I think I'll go ahead and close it. But, hey, you know, we had a great time.
You got to play Brokeback Star Trek. Come on now.
Well, I don't know. Well, you played it, right? I mean, that's what you played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the last time we'll play that one, but it was definitely good. Anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and play our closing music through our little, now that I found all this stuff I had, I'll just play some of that evolution stuff and then go ahead and close the show down. So how about that? You good for that?
It's been another stunning episode of Ghost Runner Investigations.
You know what? I think what we ought to do is every so often, when we just feel like it's Saturday, we'll just drag out a 90-minute, you know, wing it by the seat of our pants and just come up with some crazy thing like this. So I had a good time doing this. And
I always have a good time doing this.
Yeah, so let's just do that. But with that, we'll just go ahead and close it down. And
right.
we're gonna play the theme song from Evolution. And let that wind the show down. And thanks again, Kat.
You're welcome. Thanks, John. It was fun.
Okay. We'll go ahead and see you guys again in about 6 days with Carla Hicklin. And move forward from there. And also with our new friend, Doc. Talk about the I can't even say it tonight. The LHA-1 Tarawawa landing helicopter assault ship. So we'll talk about that and potentially about devil dogs and things like that in the future. So if you can find some more out about that, Kat, that'll be great.
Absolutely.
That we'll go ahead and do this song and then sign off. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay. Brokeback Star Trek. For God's
thanks for making me snort. That was great.
Okay. See you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
girl a dream. The girl he loved.